All right, it is about that time. This week, we're going to mix it up here a little bit. We have got the man who is the president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental, and of course, the illustrious host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio. He's the man. I'm gonna do some other things that we know, Tom, that you're modest. He invented the modern day auto start on your vehicle. He invented, let's see, what else? The casual Friday work shirt of which he's wearing today. And he invented, not many people know this, Tom Raffio, president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental, invented the moonwalk. All true stories, all facts. You can look them up. It is true. Right, Tom?
Well, if you believe that Al Gore was the hockey player and gone in the Love Story, and also they invented the internet, then you can believe those three things that Nazi said. But what one thing I did do, though, was write a book on Prepare for Crisis, Plan to Thrive, right?
You did. You absolutely did.
And it's going well. People are using it as a handbook. Just today, I'm not making this up. A student from Southern New Hampshire University sent me a copy of the book in a photo of the book in an email and said, I'm using it for one of my courses. So I know it's out there used as a handbook. But again, for everybody that's listening, you can get it at the Bookery. You can get it at Gibson's in Concord. You also can get it on Amazon. It's really a handbook for preparing for the next crisis.
It's also available at your website, too. I want to make sure people understand
absolutely.
That. You can purchase it right
now. And I would prefer if people walked in to the Bookery, particularly because we're going to be talking about Manchester today shortly. But if you're in the Concord area, Gibson's. If people like you, Nazi, that prefer the Amazon Prime truck driving up the driveway, you can get it that way. And it's a really cool handbook. Plus, there's a lot of people in New Hampshire that are referenced in there. So it's kind of if you're into people and stuff like that, it's pretty cool. But in any event, I think I'm going to go to my guest now.
Let's bring her in.
Okay. So Dr. Jennifer Gillis is the relatively still new superintendent of the Manchester School District. And in the spirit of transparency, you may or may not know this, but for many, many years, I was on the State Board of Education and I was also chair for several of those years. So one of my passions beyond oral health is education, early learning education, but also K through college, and spent a lot of time in the education because one, I personally believe that, you know, education is the key to life. Two, a lot of people don't know this, but the way the State Board of Education process works, we're actually responsible the State Board is for reviewing not just K through 12, but also, colleges and universities. So I really got hands-on in education, including, several of your predecessors. So let's start right there. Can you give us a summary of your background and how is it to take over? I know there's been a certain amount of change at the top of the house, but give us a little background on your career in education.
I'd love to. First, I want to say thank you for having me today. I think any moment that we get to showcase the Manchester School District in this amazing city is a win, especially in my book. So I am Jen Gillis. I am the product of two educators. My mom and dad were both in education. I first had a career in brain injury rehab and ended up moving my way into education. Started out in Goffstown. Special ed was my first step into this field, and then quickly found myself moving into administration. I was fortunate in 2014 to move over to Manchester. I started out at Southside Middle School as their principal, and I have to say, totally head over heels, fell in love with the city, fell in love with the students. It was the right place for me to be. At the time, Dr. Vargas was our superintendent. I ended up moving up to the district office and held a couple different roles up here. One was secondary assistant superintendent, and then I switched over to operations shortly thereafter. So it's been an interesting road to get to the place I sit today. However, I think every single career step, every single position I've held has absolutely informed the work I get the privilege to do as a superintendent. We are the largest school district in the state, and we are a huge employer in the state. And I take that responsibility certainly to heart, as much as I take it to my head as we try to map plans and roll our city and our district forward.
Awesome. And you're right that we love the city. So do, you know, so many citizens love the city. I know that Northeast Delta Dental has been a huge supporter of Manchester Proud, which is an organization that is trying to help in the educational front. And I know that you all appreciate that. So if you look at your short-term goals and your long-term goals, what would be your short-term SMART goals, strategic, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-based? And if we did this radio show 5 years from now, you would have been successful if. So tell it. So answer the short and long-term question. That'd be great.
Sure. So I think you're giving me a perfect segue into the work we've done with Manchester Proud, which resulted in our strategic plan. The strategic plan is essentially our roadmap for all of the work that's coming ahead. It was approved shortly before the pandemic took hold of the city, of the nation, certainly the world. And we're going back and looking at what does that plan really govern for us? How does that help us inform our work and move in a way that's clear and consistent across all the schools in the city? However, I have to kind of take a pause. We've got the strategic plan, which is a wonderful doc, but we've got a little bit of work to do first in stabilization. You're right. We've had some turnover at the top. We also had that thing called COVID that popped in for a little bit, and COVID certainly turned everything on its head for a little bit. So one of the bigger goals right now is bringing that temperature down, getting everybody back on even step, getting ready to move our students, our staff, our families, our community partners collectively forward. And just letting people, you know, the summer's going to come. We've got a lot of work to do to get ready for fall. How do we approach everybody within our school district, within our city, with that focus on student learning? So a year from now, I keep saying a year from now, what are we going to look like? How's it going to feel in the city? And my hope is you're going to feel that temperature way lower, and you're going to feel people are systematically moving together, guided by that strategic plan.
Now, you mentioned COVID. Of course, you know, everybody, like you said, in the world, citizens, businesses, schools, everybody's had to navigate the pandemic. And as I say to my school teaching friends, I mean, you had to teach to some extent with, you know, one hand tied behind your back because, you know, some people were from home. There was hybrid. There was virtual. Some people didn't have internet connection. And then, of course, all the PPE requirements, personal protection equipment, and yet you still had the, you know, the same educational requirements. So I know it was highly stressful, burnout, et cetera, and that, you know, whether you were a teacher or a nurse or candidly, you know, employees coming in here and at the height of COVID, not knowing, you know, what the novel coronavirus was all about. So I know it seems like it's never ending. So how are you approaching this fall, as let's think optimistically that, you know, it wanes, but on the other hand, that we could have another, you know, winter, you know, COVID explosion. So how are you approaching the upcoming year? Although you may, however, I understand you may be doing more of that thought process this summer, what are your preliminary thoughts about the fall and COVID?
I like how you framed it. You started with, let's think of it positive. Let's be in a way that maybe we're going to be in a healthier place come fall. So I look at it with that glass half full mindset always. Certainly when March 13th hit of 2020 and we were kind of moving into this remote world, life flipped in a moment and we had to figure out how to respond. I think what COVID has taught us is we can think different. We can be smart, we can be creative, and we can think outside of the traditional boxes. What I saw in the district and the city as a whole was everybody was leaning in to figure out how do we support kids, how do we make sure families are tended to, and then everything else was bridging from that. As we roll into this coming September, it's really that same mindset. How do we layer in mitigation? So if there is another surge, we're equipped to be able to respond to it in real time. How are we pushing in learning for our students in a way that we learned from remote learning. We learned from all of those moments where we were kind of racking our brain trying to figure out how to best support students and educators while they weren't in our physical proximity. So it goes back to two things. One, that stabilization, making sure we've got everybody back on level footing, planning for the worst. So, you know, your book you referenced at the start, it's that same type of planning. Plan for the worst, but have all those steps in the middle so that we can adjust. And those who work closely with me know I like to do redundant planning. So I've got plan A to Z times two, so that we've got some levers or some tools that we can quickly use at our disposal. So
COVID. I now see why you're so successful, because when I get asked, you know, like, why was Delta Dental so successful at the height of the pandemic? We not only were successful, but we gave back $27 million. We gave grants to dentists. We gave premium holidays to our customers. And that's because, like you, we had plans upon plan. Now, I'm not saying that I predicted the coronavirus, but we had actually been doing pandemic planning for 10 years. So we had built up our reserves and were able to pivot. And as you point out, with all this redundancy planning, you're able to pivot, you know, so much more effectively than other organizations. So I think, Nazzy, I think we have a long-term superintendent here. You know that?
I would agree with that one, Mr. Raffio.
I mean, without a doubt, I already get that feel, you know, and if she ever reads my book, she would be nodding her head and saying, yep. Anyway, we got to take a break, I think, right?
Yeah, let's take a break and we'll come back and we'll talk more with Dr. Jennifer Gillis coming up next on The Pulse of New Hampshire. All right, welcome back. It is Nazzy from the Pulse of New Hampshire, Northeast Delta Dental Radio, Mr. Tom Raffio, CEO and President of Northeast Delta Dental, and we're chatting with Dr. Jennifer Gillis. She's the superintendent of Manchester School District, and what a great discussion today we have going on, Tom.
Absolutely. I mean, I love it. I used to love my work with the State Board of Education because I would meet with, you know, leaders. My favorite, candidly, though, when teachers would come in at the top of the meetings and they would have their students, you know, talk with us, et cetera. And one of the things that we used to do is we used to have meetings, and I think they still do. Obviously, it's somewhat changed since COVID, but we would go on site to different schools and actually have the State Board of Education meeting. So we would get to meet the frontline teachers and students. And we, of course, one of those meetings was at one of the grade schools, you know, in Manchester. And it was very apparent just from empirical observation that there were many, many languages spoken. So tell us, how does that present an additional, you know, challenge for you? It's great, all this diversity. In the long run, obviously, we're much stronger society with diversity, but in the interim you have the challenges of many, many different languages spoken. So how do you handle that, and give me a rough number of how many languages you think are spoken in the different schools in Manchester?
Sure. So we had the privilege this past weekend of being at graduation, and I'll reference one of the high schools who was talking about 30 languages spoken in their high school alone. And when you think about that sheer volume of languages and making sure we're getting messages to students and their families and their community that they trust and that they lean into, it's important for us to think of systems that support language. And it's not just verbal, it's written. And it's also the way that we invite all of the communities into our schools and make our schools a welcoming place. We have a new equity director who is a part of our district at this point, funded through the work with Manchester Proud. And it's that collective look at how do we best reach in, how do we get the right staff on board to make sure we're supporting our students. But we learned through the pandemic especially that we've got to make sure we're communicating out into the community as well. It's great to be able to have the systems and tools within the schools, but we need to figure out ways to infiltrate out into each of the school communities as well.
And I'm sure, like most organizations, you know, most CEOs with whom I speak, everybody has a workforce shortage. You know, at Delta Dental, we're blessed because we're known as employer of choice. So all of our positions are filled. But for example, many of our dentists have a shortage of hygienists, as an example. So on this kind of topic, I think there may be a shortage of ELL teachers. So how do you address all this learning from different countries, given, you know, there may be a shortage of the ELL teachers, and how do you help the family sort of integrate, you know, into the school system?
Yeah, so I'll go up. I'm going to take it up another layer on top of EL teachers. In general, we're seeing a little bit of a pinch on teachers and staffing in general. So we're trying to be creative in how we're recruiting, how we are quickly moving people through the interview process and the onboarding process. And I think as we roll through the next year, you asked me what might people think 5 years from now. My hope is a year from now, the energy and the positive nature of the work we do in the district will be that leading voice. Not necessarily, you know, there's a workforce shortage, we're coming out of a pandemic, the work is heavy. And my goal, my thinking is, as we keep moving forward with systems and structures in place, people are going to want to come to Manchester. We're certainly a district that's going to be on the move. We have remarkable staff who are really pitching in to make sure our students are covered, their families are covered. So from HR, who's been certainly impacted by staff shortage in their own right, all the way through to our schools, it's how do we find the right bodies to come in, help us pull this work forward? And I truly think, you know, we're a district that's on the move. We've got a lot of great energy right now. And I think that energy is going to start to attract more and more staff who want to be a part of this team. I think that team approach will certainly be what we lead with going forward. And then it's really just assessing who do we have on board, who is most suited to which role, and how do we get the right people in the right roles within the district.
And you're correct. You have some amazing teachers, you know, and you have these amazing programs like Bring It and some extraordinary principals, Brendan, you know, that have these programs. And I know that they bring so much passion and energy and candidly, you know, use their own sweat equity and personal expenses, yeah, you know, to really make it a great experience, you know, for the students. So you are really lucky. And you also mentioned that you have some really cool community partners, you know, through Manchester Proud. And I think that was interesting because my last week's guest was Ellie Cochran, who has been involved with Barry, you know, with Manchester Proud, and her whole mantra, her whole sort of raison d'etre has been, you know, getting involved with, you know, with the community. So tell us just a little bit more about community partners, expand a little bit on Manchester Proud. I know we're familiar with it, but one of the things I've learned again during radio is we kind of know this through inside baseball, but not everybody knows exactly what Manchester Proud is and Bring It and other partners like that. So spend a few minutes on that.
Sure. So our community partners, to me, are pivotal. They have consistently stepped in and provided resources and supports for our students and families that you can't even imagine sometimes. They are creative, they are giving, they are genuine, and they are there. When I think about COVID in particular, it was really pushing all of the resources in at once. Any forward-facing group that was going to connect with our students, how could they help us reach kids? How could they help us keep information flowing to and from the families? So I can't say enough about our partners. Our work with Manchester Proud has also yielded the Compass, the Community Compass. If anyone is interested, they can find that at manchesterproudcompass.org. And essentially, this tool links our family, staff, and community together so that if someone's looking for after-school care or a doctor or a transportation provider, you can hop onto the Compass and you can scroll through and find a resource that's going to be the tool that you're looking for. And so I think it's that willingness to partner together, everybody kind of crossing lanes, not being stuck in silos, which will equip and empower our district to really fly in the coming years. I'm forever indebted to our partners, especially in the last few years. They've been an absolute rock.
And they're doing it for all the right reasons. You know, we all know that how we treat human beings, you know, from 0 to 4, and then how we educate our children is the best predictor for, you know, their success in life. And like I say, I think you have some remarkable principles. I mentioned Brandon McCafferty at the Hillside Middle School. When I'm there for, there used to be a race there every fall, and you can just kind of tell from the, from the pulse of the organization, of the, when you walk into a school, you know, it doesn't have to be a fancy school with all this technology. It's, you know, it's the culture. I know, like when people walk into our building and they say, it's like, boy, it's like a fresh green forest or whatever. And that's kind of the sense I got, for example, when I walked into Hillside Middle School. So anyway, you have other great principles as well. So I'm getting excited for the fall already.
Me too.
As far as the this past year, what stands out as you, this graduating class and the last two actually have had to be resilient? I always say, like, you know, a lot of things were curtailed, you know, particularly 2 years ago, a lot of sports programs were curtailed. Everybody did their best, and it wasn't sort of the robust type seniors year that, you know, back in, you know, that people normally would have. But I always said, like, these students will have been resilient. So those are what we're looking for as employers, you know, 4 years from now. So what stands out from this year's graduates for you?
So we did graduation this last Saturday, and it was phenomenal. The energy from the students, from the families, from the staff, and the ability to capture that resiliency and the grit that these students had was, it kind of just takes you back a little bit. I took a few pauses during the graduations to just look out and see the excitement on the faces of the families, the cheers, and watching the kids, some of the tears that came from that day. And you realize the enormity of the responsibility we are entrusted with to move these students from pre-K on through 12th grade. And you kind of stop, and you have to be really humbled in that moment of, wow, you know, we all dealt with a pandemic, but they did too. And they figured out ways to still get to college, career, military service. They brought back routines and structures to their school day. They returned prom with their thinking and their planning. They created new ideas, such as one school has senior sunrise now. And so they were resilient, they were creative, and they really, with their with the staff in their buildings, they cut their own path. And, you know, that's a pretty remarkable thing when you consider what we've all been through in the last couple of years. You can't say it enough when you look at our schools and you look at our students and our staff. You have to be proud. You have to think of, you know, what else is possible, but you have to take those moments and really reflect of, wow, look what they did. They made it. And that's commendable.
Absolutely. And if I'm still making hiring decisions, you know, 4 or 5 years from now, and I know of these students, you know, that have made it through and with this grit that you described, I mean, those are exactly the people you want working for you, right, as a company, people that have proven their resiliency, but also remained, you know, optimistic. And you said something earlier in the program about how some of the innovations that occurred, you know, because of necessity, but a lot of that stuff was already happening. Scott Galloway wrote a great book on that, which is the pandemic might have expedited some of the things that were already happening. Now, I am so psyched to see Dr. Gillis, because, you know, three predecessors ago, Tom and I were good friends. And then there was Dr. Vargas, Dr. Goldhart. Oh, yeah. So now we have Dr. Jennifer Gillis, sort of homegrown. And I think we need this sort of, you know, long-term view. It's never easy being a superintendent, because not you're dealing with workforce, you're dealing with students, you're dealing with school boards, or all
a lot of pressure,
all of that. But yeah, obviously, you yourself have remained, you know, bright and optimistic. So if you can give me 30 seconds on what should people outside of Manchester, when they think about Manchester schools, what should they be thinking about? And what brings you the most joy in your job?
So I would say, in a quick nutshell, watch for us. We're on the move. We are getting ready to cut some new trails. We are learning absolutely from the last set of years. But we're coming and we are going to keep cracking through goals. We're going to hit this strategic plan and we are going to tackle mountains that people may not have ever thought we were going to be able to tackle.
No doubt, Nancy. And I'm assuming that's what's going to bring you joy. And what else? The kids, I bet, right?
Oh my God. Saturday was that moment you sit there and you have the tear in your eye as you watched, you know, they finally got there. And yeah, the kids are amazing. The staff are amazing. The families, the partners, I'm a very lucky human to be in the role I get to sit in.
So with that, Nancy, you can see that the Manchester School District is in great hands, great future, yes. Both current and the future. So absolutely. Thank you, Jennifer, for doing a great job in society and for your school district. And I'm sure I will see you at one of these great Manchester events. Nazi, it's all you.
Yes. Thank you, Dr. Gillis. Appreciate you joining us.
Thank you.
All right. And Tom, thank you. We'll see you next week for Northeast Delta Dental Radio on the Pulse of New Hampshire.